Yo, 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 what is up, ladies and gentlemen? Monday, really excited to have everybody here. Today's guest, we have Julie Chan coming on. But first, before we go into this, I want to make sure that everyone understands. WinJet Radio is presented by WinJet Studios and then WinJet TV. One of the questions that came in over the weekend through the Texas community were pertaining to, like, what the hell is WinJet TV, WinJet Music? It's like, listen, it's all in one spot. It's WinJet Music has three components. WinJet TV, obviously, what you're seeing right now. WinJet Radio is the audio component or podcasting recordings that go on there. And then WinJet Music is coming soon. And we'll talk a little bit later about that. I just want to make sure that I address that real quick before I go into this with Ms. Julie Chan today. And you're about to see that our two personalities, when it collides, things move. All right. So, but Julie, welcome to the show. Really excited to have you here.
Thank you so much, Chris. I'm so excited to be here.
Right. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I swear, Julie Chan loves the pink, loves wearing that pink. Boy, I was like, what? The Julie Chan pops on. She's been up since 4:45. And it's, what time is it right now? In the
California. 5 a.m.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah. All right. We're going to get after it. So the Julie Chan show, I swear, it's going to be on WinJet Studios coming up soon. Doing a revamp and doing a lot of other crazy stuff that we have going on. But just for the listeners that are tuning in today for this live, how do you kind of describe yourself to people, like, and what you do and what you're about?
Yeah, I would say I'm a woman who wears many hats. If you know me, you know I love to throw parties. I actually just had a big surprise party for my mother last weekend.
I saw that.
It was exciting and amazing and so much fun. We built a new backyard a few years ago and have a really fabulous swimming pool. And I just, from the moment it was done, I dreamed of having an amazing luau. Mm-hmm. And it was specifically in my mind for my mom and all of her friends. I grew up going to Hawaii. I take my kids to Hawaii every year. And I just thought a luau in this backyard would be perfect. And we finally got to do it. And it was so much fun. And we ended up with the most amazing entertainers, fire dance, hula dancers. It was stunning. I was like, this show is better than any luau I've ever been to in all of Hawaii, right in my backyard in Los Angeles. Mm. So lots of fun. So, you know, when you ask what I'm about fun parties, connection. Mm-hmm. I think connection is key in life. To connect authentically with people, mm-hmm, from your heart is really what I'm all about.
What's up, Nina? Yeah, Nina's the one that's connected. I knew she was bouncing around here somewhere. But so all about fun and throwing parties and just bringing, you definitely, you show up the way that you are. And you typically don't see that when I guess you would say with public figures and people that are doing different shows, that sometimes they have to put a different mask on to be able to do what they do. I think that's what you do effortlessly. Your true authentic self. And it makes it really easy just to be you, right? Or be around you, I guess you would say, because there's no hidden agendas.
I have no hidden agendas. I only know how to be myself. And sometimes that is too much, I've heard. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like, is that really you? I mean, I got a letter recently from a distant, she's more of an acquaintance. Mm-hmm. Our two daughters are really close friends. And I introduced her to something and I had asked her, you know, I was asking her questions about herself. And she later, you know, wrote to me and said, thank you so much for introducing me to this. But I just thought you were being fake. I just thought you were, mm-hmm, a fake person who pretends to love and care about people. But really, you're just all about yourself. And why would you be caring about me? And it was just really interesting because I genuinely like don't know how to be fake. And but I've heard that over and over in my life. And, you know, I think that it's when we can be authentic, when everybody can show up and just be who they are and not wear masks, mm-hmm, is when we really make connections to people and when we help forward each other and we bring out the best in each other and we're synergistic. And we can collaborate. And when you come from a place of love, all good things happen, I think.
I think so. And you use the word synergetic And there's a lot of people out there don't understand how important it is to recycle your energy. In recycling energy with others, you can get into alignment, and also I wouldn't say really alignment, because you are in alignment in the wrong way and alignment in a good way, and we're going after what you're looking for. But that synergy that you're talking about, it's very rare to find with people that have a show, because they have to play the part of a show, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So, and that's something that I'm really excited about with the Julie Chan show, is you are not just, you know, of course you have a bubbly personality, but you overcome a lot of adversity in your life to get you to where you are right now.
Yeah. And life is a constant lesson, right? And yes. It's about being able to go through the things that come your way, mm-hmm. and to grow and learn from them, to understand, like, why is this happening? What am I to learn from this? And how do I get through this? And really, what are the positives? You know, to live in a victim story, I've learned over the years, is not forwarding and does not help me grow as a person. But to realize that happened for a reason. Now, what is my takeaway, and how do I make the next day better? How do I make the next experience better? And I think that, you know, I've been afforded many opportunities. As you say, there have been, you know, some hardships that I've had to overcome in life. But ultimately, I am super grateful for the many, many opportunities that have come my way, for the doors that have opened when you least expect it, you know, for just living in the moment and seeing all the good that surrounds us. I mean, there are wonderful people always around us, if we take the opportunity to see them, and if we're listening, and if we're hearing about people and who they are, and truly making connections. And I think that so many of us miss those opportunities. And it's something that I try to instill in my three daughters. You know, what is the good in the person in front of you? What are the lessons you can be learning? How can you be helping to forward their lives? Yes. And how are you making deep, genuine connections always?
There was something, and not just to put our personal conversations into this, but you triggered something real quick. You shared a story with me once about your daughter and the people that were, I guess it was a young lady was in a lunchroom or something, and no one was sitting down next to her. Mm-hmm. And you shared with your daughter a different perception, you know, obviously perceiving it in a different look. And how would you feel if you were there and you didn't know anyone?
Yeah.
That's an opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I was the girl. I was always the new kid. I switched schools a lot when I was really young. Kindergarten, one place, first grade, another place, switched a few times in 1 year. And that was really hard for me. A lot of people don't believe it now, but I was the shyest kid. I was, you know, almost mute in some situations. I would go to family functions and my mom would say, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And I'd say, I'll be there. I'm coming with you. And I'd follow her into the bathroom because I didn't want to be left alone, even with family members, because I wouldn't know what to say or how to carry a conversation or how to answer questions. And so school was obviously even more magnified, like to be the new kid and not know anyone. So I deeply understand what it feels like to be the new kid or to be the new, you know, person on the block or wherever it is. And so, and my kids, you know, I sort of vowed to myself that I would settle in a location and my kids would be in the same house, which they have been their whole life. And they, you know, have friends from birth. And, you know, I wanted that for them. But what I started to see early on is that when you have that luxury, you could become complacent.
Yes.
You only see what you know. So you have no idea what it's like to be the new kid. And so I remember that opportunity, you know, to say to my kids, you know, when that new kid is sitting by themselves, try to put yourself in that spot. And though you've never been there, let me tell you how it feels. And and you get afraid to go to school or to go to a new school year and to have new kids there, and that's uncomfortable. But imagine being that lone soul who knows nobody, and you know at least half the kids, if not more. So why not, you know, put your hand out and open your heart, and, you know, a hello, a smile goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. It does go a long way. What do you think changed for you? And you just, I guess, by settling into yourself when you were in your adolescence, or was it people around you that helped you?
I would say that, so for me, from a very young age, I always dreamed of being a cheerleader. I think in the 80s and the 90s, there were lots of like shows on TV for like teens that, you know, there was always like the cheerleader, right? And so I always wanted to be a cheerleader, but I thought, oh my gosh, like, I think maybe because that was the outgoing person, and how would I become that person? Mm-hmm. And so in sixth grade, I had the opportunity to try out for seventh grade cheer squad, and I worked really hard at it, and I set my intention, and I went out and I practiced every day, and that was sort of the first time of wanting something so much and just practicing and practicing. And then I became the cheerleader, and then I became the captain of the squad, and so, you know,
building. Shocking. Shocking. Shocking by knowing more about you. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was huge for me. I mean, I was young, but those are real formative years, right? Yeah. And I remember getting a letter when I was brought on to the seventh grade cheer squad. I got a letter from the principal of the school. I went to a Christian school, and it was a smaller private school. And the principal wrote me a letter, and I remember it touched me so deeply because it said, you are now an ambassador of the school. And as a cheerleader, you're a leader, and, you know, take this opportunity to be kind to others, right? Because I think in those days, cheerleaders were known as maybe, mean girls. And this letter really was about, like, use this opportunity, be positive, see yourself as a leader, and take that initiative to care more about others than yourself. And I just remember that touched me so deeply. And I took that to heart, and I saw it as an opportunity. And I think that's what my life sort of became about. Like, use the gifts that you're given, the opportunities you're given to share with others, to be kind with others, to, you know, lift others. Mm-hmm. And that's what the show is about for me. Mm-hmm. The Julie Chan Show is about kindness and is about using your voice to elevate others and to support others and to cheer others on. And if I can do it, so can anyone else. Mm-hmm. And it's really about sharing positivity in every aspect of life.
Right. And that, I mean, that's something that just oozes out of you. I mean, and that's why I asked the question, like, what changed for you? I mean, you don't strike me as a person that would be quiet and kind of in their shell. However, but you wouldn't believe this, but when I was very, very young, I was shy. Yeah. And they were like, what? I tell people that they blows their mind. I'm like, I was really shy. Yeah. I was really shy. I think part of it, I couldn't read that well. You know, I was a dyslexic, undiagnosed. So when I was in class and they would go around the room and they would ask me to read, I was like, still to this day, if someone tells me to read something, I'm like, oh no, I don't want to read it. When I'm always on a computer, I always have a ruler next to me, and I go down. This doesn't mean I can't read. It's hard for me to keep my attention on one line. I'm always wandering off. And that's what helped me over the years, is learning a different way of overcoming something. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you strike me as a person, I mean, you've shared in your personal story that you contacted, I don't know how many radio stations and how many broadcasting places, and you just weren't going to be denied at all. Right. And right. I think that's what's going to be beautiful about your show is that, yes, you're not just talking about it. You're teaching people you can really do anything you really want to do in life. You just got to be. You have to adopt the right, proper principles, the right mindset, and be around the right mind. Like, I guess you say like-minded people that can elevate you even in your darkest times. I think that's powerful.
Yes. Finding supportive people, finding people that see the best in you and want to support you and that, you know, you love them and they love you. It's about synergy, right? And a collaboration and just forward momentum and people who are supportive in life. I think what really changed for me is, well, first of all, like you, reading was an issue for me. So I didn't necessarily have dyslexia or I didn't, but I was a slow reader. I was definitely a slow reader and comprehending what I read was tough for me. And I think that was because my mind was always somewhere else. I'm reading one thing about something totally different. I'm thinking about fun and a party and even though I was quiet and shy. And so I think what really changed for me is just getting older and coming out of my shell. And you know, when I was really little, Chris, I would stare in a mirror and I would talk to myself and say all the things that I couldn't say all day long at school that I wanted to say to people that I saw. I think that there was an intuition inside of me that wanted to connect and could see people. But for whatever reason, it just didn't get used the way it is now, where I just talk. So I think when I found my voice, my life changed. I started to use it.
Professional squirrel hunters, yeah. Russ Johns. Yeah. Russ is our community leader within Winjek Cities and is also a really dope individual. You'll like him a lot. He talks a lot about just being kindness is cool. Being seen, being heard, being talked about. He's got a great show, the Pirate Broadcast. Great people. And I think you do know Russ, don't you? Or do you not? Yeah, just yet. Until now, y'all are old friends. You'll get to know him. He's great. He's a great guy.
That is great.
Yeah. So it sparked any ideas. So like, what piqued your curiosity? I'm saying, you know what? I'm going to start my own show because why not? The Julie Chan. Well, the world needs more of Julie Chan. Like, what really piqued your curiosity about like stepping into this type of realm?
Well, so I was born with a desire to do TV.
Okay.
I watched, you know, Live with Regis and Kathy Lee. I watched, I just was always a fan of, you know, the Oprah show and Joan London and all of these very big personalities that were not only, you know, they had moved beyond being a news anchor and it wasn't news, but it was more about their personality and it was more about the interviews. And so I started out, but midway through life, after having three daughters, I decided to finally pursue that dream of being a broadcaster. And so I started out in morning news and I was told no over and over and over, sort of throughout my life. Like, I don't know if you can do it. Maybe you can't. And so there was always this lingering self-doubt. But as the more I got older, the more I started going for things and really, you know, pushing myself forward. And so that in itself has been a journey. Like, when I hear no, it's like, why not? And so I keep pushing. And when I became a morning news anchor, it was definitely solidified for me that news is not what I love.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember talking about that. News is not where my heart is. But it was in the interviews. It was in bringing people on who were afraid to, you know, do this type of thing and to share their own journeys or talk about their nonprofit organization or whatever it was that they were doing. I was able to lean into that and speak to them and help support them in sharing their story. And I just really love that. It's the piece about connection, right? Mm-hmm. When you get somebody to a place where they forget their fears and their insecurities, and they just can show up authentically and share what they really love and what they're passionate about. And so that is when the YouTube show started, the Julie Chan Show, where passion meets purpose. Mm-hmm. Because for me, we all have a passion and we all have this thing that we were born with, whether it's a talent or a desire to do something and to use our personality and our gifts for whatever it is we want to do. But it's stepping into that, believing mm-hmm. that we are worthy to do that and that we can. And that takes a lot of unraveling sometimes,
it
right?
Does. As
a society and life.
Takes a lot of courage as well, because I mean, you're kind of scared to showcase that because you don't really have the people around it you need to really shine. You talked about talent. Well, talent is just, you know, desired interest,
yeah.
You know, so talent, you can develop more talent and right. people say, well, you had God-given talent. Yeah, that might be true. But if you put more interest into something and then from there, if it's behind a purpose, that's your fuel to push you and propel you forward.
Right.
I mean, you can become the best motivational speaker in the world if that's what you choose to do.
Right.
If you want to, focus, I don't know. Yeah. You've got to be laser focused. And as long as you have the right amount of understanding and awareness, you can overcome anything, I believe.
Yes, absolutely.
Where's the, so here's the thing. I think when you got your start, you hosted a show when these people out here, these people in the UK were getting married. It was Prince Harry. And so you hosted
these
a show.
People, Prince William.
These people. Yeah, I know. Well, I did that because you're a huge fan and I'm in England. You were like, you're in London. For the first time, ladies and gentlemen, we spoke on the phone. She was like, you're in London?
I'm like, where are you? That background is beautiful, but it doesn't look that familiar. Mm-hmm. You said London, and I was like,
I'm moving. I'm coming to you. And I was like,
yeah, we're meeting, and you're introducing me to Kate Middleton, and I can't wait.
That's okay. Well, I guess I got to start rubbing elbows with the guys out there. They're not peasants, right? So anyways, but yes, it's pretty funny. So you hosted that type of party. Right. And that kind of opened your eyes to a lot of different possibilities for yourself. And you mentioned you love throwing parties. I mean, and you're just now just throwing a party within your own show and inviting people to come on. I mean, what is the goal overall outcome that you're searching for rather than, you know, of course, it's going to be easy to say, oh, I'm going to try to change lives. But what is the overall outcome you're really looking for, do you think?
To inspire mm-hmm. okay. people to listen to their passion and pursue it mm-hmm. no matter what. You know, being a middle-aged woman who has teenage kids, and, you know, I see in myself and in so many of my mm-hmm. friends, it's like, what's next? Who am I becoming in the second half of my life? Mm-hmm. And I'm very fortunate to be surrounded by so many women and men and women, right? Who, you know, are ending one profession, ending one career, have, you know, totally gotten to where they want, but it's like, what's next? And we're always reinventing ourselves. And I've
right.
had great opportunities to interview so many book authors, right? Mm-hmm. Who had a career before they became an author, but have so many stories to share. And it's just been so amazing to be surrounded by so many people who really do take life, you know, in the palm of their hand and go for it. But there are so many more people who don't. And so, you know, I really want my show to be able that people go there and they're so inspired to make that happen for themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it's learning tips and tricks and steps on how to do that, or just listening and being like, I can do that. You know, like I interviewed a 97-year young book author who at 97 wrote and published her first adult novel. Now in the 60s, while she was raising six kids, she wrote and sold over 2 million copies of a few books she wrote for middle school age kids. And that mm-hmm. wasn't, you know, the norm in the 60s for a woman raising six kids. But then at 97 wrote and published and sold her first adult novel. I mean, I had people, I would, before the pandemic, I'd have live audiences come to my home and I'd interview authors. And I remember
so dope.
My kid's violin teacher brought her mom and she said to me, "Oh my gosh, that was the most amazing talk, because guess what? My mom doesn't call me every day anymore and tell me to buy her a wheelchair and a walker and take her to yet another doctor." And I was like, "Mom, how come you've stopped calling me? What happened to all your ailments?" And she said, "If that 97-year-old can do all that she does and she can see the glass as full, not only half full, but completely full, and be so happy every day and have no ailments, what is wrong with me? I'm like half her age. So I need to get out there and get my life moving and doing and being happy." And to hear that story just brought me so much joy, Chris. Like,
I was about to ask, where do you, I guess, recharge? And it seems to me we share something very similar with this, that you recharge through the impact you make on others.
Yes, absolutely. Because I don't sleep. Actually, just had a conversation with two girlfriends last night. They're like, "So 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night, Julie, it will catch up with you one day." And I'm like, "No, it won't, because sleep is a waste of time." Where it's already catching up though is I started to do yoga and tennis and walking and jogging and all of that in a day. So it was, you know, I'd wake up at like 4 a.m. to start that routine. And then my like leg and knee and foot started to give out. And I was like, "What is this? I don't
know. What is wrong with me?" Yeah.
And I went to acupuncture, and the acupuncturist like, "So the issue is, I don't think you're sleeping. And so your whole body's going to break down without sleep." And I'm like, "Really? Is
that I don't see that." Well, okay. I don't sleep that much either. Okay. But when I do sleep, that means something's wrong. like more than 6 hours, something's wrong with me. And then I wake up, I feel like I just woke up from the dead. I don't know what happened with my life. I'm like, I don't know. There's too much happened in the world. You know what I mean? I feel like I have to catch up. It's like too much for me. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Well, when I was a kid growing up, I mean, if I slept more than 7 hours, I was so discombobulated. Like, this is like,
I don't know what is my name? Like, is it, am I in a different life? Like, what is happening right now? It's so funny. I can go on for like 50 hours with you on a call, I swear. Because I think we spoke, I think the first time we had a conversation was like 3 hours, like 2.5 hours.
Yes.
I'm like moving meetings and stuff. I'm like, "I'll call you back in a little bit." I was like, "I gotta go." Anyways, but yeah.
That you see, that is the power of connection, right?
It is.
You show up authentically and you're your genuine self, the connection is so strong. It's like we could talk for hours and days, and we can really pour into each other and know each other and find all kinds of connections.
Do you ever have a bad day?
Of course. It's the days that I'm in my head. Like, what am I doing? It's the self.
I love how she got to the next question, ladies and gentlemen, of where I was going with that. Go ahead. Keep going. Yeah. Go ahead.
Did I read your mind?
No, you got me. It was pretty good. I asked a leading question to see where you go with it. I knew it, I kind of anticipated if that was where you're going to go. It was like when you're on your own head. So when you're in your own head, like what, walk me through one of those days.
Oh, it's so irritating. It's so irritating. It just feels stuck. It feels like I just sit there. Like I forget my vision. I forget my dreams. I forget who I am. I forget the power within me. I forget my voice. Okay. I forget who I am. And I just sit there like, where do I go next? Mm-hmm. It's in those moments of, what step do I take? I could go this way or that way. And a lot of times, you know, what's most difficult for me is I am a person who has lived a life of moving through life based on my emotions and based on being reactionary, right? Mm-hmm. So I get a text like, I need your help here. Okay, I go there. I need this, you know, or my kid needs to go here, or this needs to happen. I mean, and, you know, it's especially hard when you're raising kids and you have a family and all these things are going on. And it's like, and you don't have, like, you're more of an entrepreneur and you don't have to be at a job sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day. And so you have a lot of choices and you know, it's hard to say no. And the power of no, I think there are books on it. I think it's especially difficult for women. That word no is really, really hard. And every day I'm thinking about it and I'm trying to practice it. But it's tough, really tough.
It is tough. And it's also tough not to explain yourself and giving them a reason why you said no.
Yes. Yes. And I've been practicing that a lot lately. Like, I'll be texting and it's like, I delete, I'm sorry a lot. Yes. I delete the explanation a lot. And it's like, and that takes time too, right? But it's like
doing doses. You gotta do it in doses.
Becoming aware is the first step. So I hear.
It is. Yes.
it's definitely, you know, it's baby steps, right? But yeah, I mean, I would say that the hardest thing on a bad day, I mean, really a bad day for me is just being inside my own head. Mm-hmm. A bad day is not what somebody does to me because, right, if you're in your power, like, no one's doing anything to you. It's the choice you're making. It's the opportunities you're taking. It's the opportunity you're taking to see a situation in a negative light, which I don't need to do that. I don't have time to do that.
It's gonna take too much of your energy to, you know what I mean? I just don't, that's how you re-attract the same bullshenanigans into your life. I'm like, I'm not gonna sit here. I'm not gonna entertain it. I don't entertain negative thinkers.
Yeah.
But, and I make you, do you make people feel really uncomfortable sometimes? Because I do. I make people feel really uncomfortable. It's just by my presence, because of there's so much energy there when I'm able to, when I'm having conversations with people, I want to have a conversation genuinely because I really listen to an individual. That's the power of listening, like really listening.
Yes.
But I can take it, that switch, and make them feel really uncomfortable when I do speak. Because I'm speaking with so much passion and so much authority, people get really like, oh, I don't know about this, because they don't know what to do with the energy. Do you see my point?
No, I do see your point. And I think that for me, when people are uncomfortable with me, yeah, I see that they can get mean.
Yeah. They get caught up in their own ego. Get it. Yeah.
Ego. Ego is definitely a big thing that I'm starting to notice more and more. Mm-hmm. When people are deep in their ego, they're really shut down and they're talking from a space of just rambling and talking at you, and you start to see it, and it's like they don't want to hear you and they don't actually want to be in conversation with you. They just really
I get a little irritated when I'm trying to articulate a message and I'm like, listen, Julie, I don't know how else to explain this to you. I did it in like four different ways. How would you like to receive this statement? And that's usually my last time, right? Mm-hmm. How would you like to receive this? Because I'm really perplexed on really finding the right words. Yeah. And I'm not trying to offend you here. I'm just trying to allow you, give you enough information for you to see it yourself. On what's preventing you. And then that's my, then they, that goes over their head. They get caught up in their ego. I'm like, yeah, sorry, I gotta go. I don't do it in that abruptly or that rude with them. Of course, I'll find a way out the conversation, you know? So,
yeah.
And that's difficult sometimes, but if you have your own show and people are asked all the time of the success of the show, and I'm very blessed and very honored to have so many listeners, but they make recommendations for people to come onto the show, but I'm not just looking for business people, or I'm looking for someone that's open and vulnerable enough to share something about themselves that could really help a listener.
Right.
You know, and that's something that you do very well. It, like, with the people that you're going to be bringing on people of books, or like, what is your ideal type of guest that come on the Julie Chan show?
My ideal guest is somebody who can be
other than Oprah.
Absolutely vulnerable and authentic and honest on and be open, be able to connect with me, the interviewer, to be able to just really go deep inside of them and share really authentically whatever question comes their way. You know, I always find it really interesting when people say, well, can you send me a list of questions before I interview? And I say, absolutely not. I don't have a list of questions. The interview will take shape as we meet and go along. And I've coached others, you know, before podcast interviews, and, you know, a lot of podcasters do give a list of questions. And I was coaching one person who said, you know, okay, so I got 30 questions and I'm sitting here memorizing my answers to all the questions. And I said, you wrote a book. Not only did you write a book, but you wrote it about your personal journey through a really dark place and through situation of helping your own son out of addiction. You know your experience. You don't.
We spoke about this. Yeah.
Questions with answers, right? And
it's not relatable. It's not gonna hit the right listener where it needs to hit them to really like feel what you're saying. And that's where the emotion you're talking about is driving that emotion home. And you can't do that by reading off a screen.
Right. I love what restaurants just said. Like nothing is scripted. Everything is unscripted. You got to live it. You've got to be in the moment connecting like you and I do. And it's,
I put it this way. One of the, some moments in life are so powerful and none of them are scripted. Think about the time when you got married, if you got married, or the time that when you were asked to be married, or if you were asking a girl to be married, or when the time that you were asking for the hand in marriage, or the time that you walked across the high school and graduated, the time that you had to give an acceptance speech and you're trying to, but the best time to deliver a message is through your heart. It's speaking from your heart.
Absolutely. And it's those moments that you don't plan for, right? That you did, you don't think about over and over and you plan it all out. It's, it's so like when I threw the royal wedding viewing party William and Kate Middleton. I had no idea that was coming about. I just was, you know, TiVoing the coverage for my mom. And I saw that KTLA was going to be showing viewing parties. What? Show my viewing party. So I ended up hosting this like all night viewing party, came together in, you know, 12 hours. And it turned out that the KTLA, it was actually the ABC photographer who came to video and do all these live shots. He ends up overhearing my cousin say, Julie, you need to get into TV. It's your lifelong dream. He comes back the next day and tells me like what to do and how to go make a reel. And lo and behold, my dream since, you know, 3 years old, 5 years old is now taking
reality
forward at 35 years old. And it happens in the most least expected times of life.
And just it's, like you and it's I mean. Supposed to. Right. It's supposed to. And I mean, remember we were having a conversation. I was like, you know, and I had no idea that, you know, obviously they would, the conversation would take shape in that way. And I was like, you know what? I was like, you know what, Julie? The hell with this. I'm going to, let's make this happen. I'm like, all right, let's. So here we are, ladies and gentlemen. This is, and I messaged Julie yesterday. I had something that came up and I was like, listen, tomorrow I go live. I know it's a little premature considering we're just now figuring this out. And obviously us putting a stamp on a show. And then it's just all about sometimes just moving some of the barriers of entry and some of the, I guess, bland messages where it needs to be heightened of you. And I think this is going to be really powerful with Inject Studios. So thank you so much for coming on. I know that we have obviously a busy week coming up and it's just going to be really fun watching that spotlight just following you around.
So much fun. Thank you so much, Chris. I just, I so appreciate you. I so appreciate the synergy that has come up between us so quickly and so just spontaneously.
Right. Came out of nowhere. I was like, who is this person? I was like, this is great. Cause I remember watching you on Nina's show and I was like, I like this girl. She's fun. But yeah, it's just going to be fun. Obviously looking at the areas of opportunity and there's going to be so much, obviously the more we dive into this, and especially I think with the game shows type of stuff, that type of feel in certain segments of your show, I think it's gonna be really fun and actually edifying your personality the way it needs to be edified, not trying to bottle it up, right? So it's gonna be fun. Anyways, thanks again, guys. Guys, make sure you follow her on the IG. It has been popping up, and then the website, her website will be changing. Obviously, our website guys will be doing some work and obviously having a conversation on really packaging Julie Chan and the Julie Jan show. So appreciate you again, guys. Be well, be you, be great. Peace out. Much love. Rush John's tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Be there, be square. See you guys at the top. Peace out. Much love. Thanks, Julie.
Thank you so much.
Brought to you by Winject Studios. We are an all-in-one educational platform for podcasters that revolutionizes how hosts leverage content to increase engagement with listeners, downloads, and income. We come together to focus on community, collaboration, and collective impact. For more information on how you can interact directly with our hosts, access exclusive live content with offers you can't get anywhere else from our official partners, join our purpose-driven community by visiting www.winject.com. If you're ready to build a career doing what you love, then we're ready to see you there.